The following program is for entertainment purposes only. Betting involves financial risk and is not suitable for everyone. Always bet responsibly and never wager more than you can afford to lose.
Welcome to Let's Take the Man's Money with Gio on CKDJ 107.9, your go-to source for NFL betting insights, odds, and expert picks. Whether you're chasing that perfect parlay or looking for the latest line movement, Gio has the strategies and stats to help you beat the book. Get your playbook ready. It's Sunday morning, and it's time to take the man's money.
And welcome back, everyone, to Let's Take the Man's Money for week four of the 2024 NFL season on CKDJ 107.9 FM. You can follow me on Twitter at Let's Take the Man's Money NFL, LTTMMNFL, and you'll have a chance of winning some Let's Take the Man's Money swag. Leave a comment on your picks. Tell us where you're listening from. I want to congratulate Drew Halliday. He's last week's winner of the Let's Take the Man's Money contest. Drew, you are going to be getting some swag in the mail very soon. Thanks for giving us a call. I want to do a breakdown of last week's game before we start. Last week, the favorites went 8-8 against the spread. If you're remembering week one, the favorites went 12-3-1. And then in week two, it was a reversal as the favorites only went 5-10-1. Well, 8-8 in week three. So we have, a regression to the mean, as they say. I almost expect a wild swing one way or the other this week. We'll find out. And how did I do last week? Romano, can you roll the clip of my picks from last week?
Let's take the New York Giants minus the 6. And you know what? That's a low total of 38.5, but let's go under. Let's lay the points. Let's take the Tennessee Titans minus 3, and let's take under the 36.5. That's what we'll do. Let's take the Colts to cover the points. I have one right now, but you may have 1.5 or even 2. I still say lay those points and take the Colts. And let's also take under the 42.5. For the first time this year, I'm going to take my Minnesota Vikings. So let's take the Vikings plus 2.5, and let's take the over. Let's take New Orleans plus 1, and we'll bet the under 49.5. Yeah, so let's do that. Give me the Chargers plus 2, and let's take over the 35.5. I'd say Tampa puts up 30 on their own, and maybe gives up some garbage time points for the over. So Tampa Bay minus 6.5, and over the 39.5. So you know what? Let's take the Panthers in the points. Let's take Carolina plus 5.5, and for fun, I'll take over the 40.5 points. Well, let's take the Miami Dolphins plus the points. And you know what? Let's take under 41.5. I think this game will probably be a lot of running. Let's take Baltimore minus 1. And we'll take over 49.5. So let's take the Rams plus 7. If you can get 7.5, great. But even take them at 6.5. Take the Rams in the points. And we'll go over the total of 44.5. I think this one sails over. So Arizona plus 3 and over 52.5. Maybe sprinkle a little bit of money on the money line. But let's take the Falcons plus 4.5 and let's take under the 46.5. I'm going to lay the points. Take the Buffalo Bills minus 5 and take over 45.5 because I think the Bills have a chance of hitting 35 by themselves. But you know what? Let's take the Commanders plus 7.5 against the spread. And give me the under.
Okay, not too bad. A special shout out to my producer, Romano DeFranco, for putting that clip together. Also, you know, we'll talk about everyone's record straight up against the spread, over, under. There's 5 teams still undefeated. The Kansas City Chiefs, Buffalo Bills, no surprise there, and the Pittsburgh Steelers are from the AFC. And from the NFC, we've got the Seattle Seahawks, maybe a bit of a surprise, and my Minnesota Vikings still 3-0. At 0-3, the Cincinnati Bengals, who are off to a terrible start, haven't won yet. And 2 other teams, both from the AFC South, Jacksonville Jaguars, Tennessee Titans, still winless. Man, that AFC South isn't very good. 3-9 straight up so far, and I think one of those wins is actually a divisional game. Who's left against perfect against the spread? Well, the Pittsburgh Steelers are 3-0, and same with the Minnesota Vikings. 0-3, we've got the Miami Dolphins and Tennessee and Houston, both, again, from the AFC South, that weak division. As far as over-unders, Dallas Cowboys were 3-0, but they played the Giants last week on Thursday Night Football, so they are no longer perfect. They're now 3-1 to the over. The only team that is perfect over are the Baltimore Ravens at 3-0. 0-3, on the other hand, we've got the Detroit Lions, Chicago Bears, the Atlanta Falcons, and now the New York Giants are 0-4 to the under. So keep that in mind. From the AFC, we've got the Chargers, who, you know, they're going to be running the ball a lot. So there's going to be a lot of unders there. Pittsburgh with that defense. And Miami is really banged up on offense. They're also 0-3 to the under. And we keep talking about taking home division dogs. Well, in weeks 1, 2, and 3, they were 3-0. And the first game this week, the Thursday nighter, we had the Dallas Cowboys going into New York. That was really interesting because that game opened up with the Giants as 4.5-point dogs at home. It got bet up to 5.5, and the final was a 5-point win by Dallas. So that was right in the middle. So you know what happens there? The book took a bath in that game. They took a beating because the early bettors got Dallas, and then the late bettors got the Giants. So that makes the home division dogs a perfect 4-0. As far as home division favorites, from my count, we've got 4-1. Only the Miami Dolphins lost at home to Buffalo as a home division favorite. So that's another good bet to take. Home division dogs, and then when they're, the home division dogs always take. It's my favorite bet. But when the home division team is a favorite, it's also a very good bet. If that's all you took, you would be sitting at 8-1 for the year so far. So not too bad there. Now that we're in week 4, let's do an NFL team power rankings. I used to do a weekly power rankings when I had my YouTube channel every week. And I think it was the best one out there. It was so precise. Yeah, I would never move a team more than 5 spots. I watch a lot of these videos, and some of the CBS guys, Yahoo guys, are from week to week, they move teams from 10 spots. That's not the way to do it. Because this is radio, not YouTube, I'm going to give you my top 12 teams. After that, I'll put them in groups of 5, 4 groups of 5 different tiers. You can mix up the order in each group. Sometimes I used to get some flack from some of the guys saying, my team isn't the worst. They're not 32nd. They're only 29th. Well, whatever. You're the bottom 5. You're in the last tier. So in my top 12, I've got Kansas City Chiefs at number 1. No surprise there. Buffalo Bills at number 2. They have a 64-point difference. So they're no surprise with 1 and 2. I'm going to put my Minnesota Vikings at number 3. The defense has been great. Sam Darnold has been wonderful as a quarterback. They great coaching. They're number 2 defense. They're beating the spread by 19.8 points. So they're not only winning it, they're covering by a lot. So I've got them at number 3. I'm going to have the Philadelphia Eagles at number 4. Their only loss was by 1 point. Pittsburgh Steelers with that defense, they're undefeated. They haven't had the toughest schedule yet, but I still have them at number 5. At number 6, this might be a little controversial. I've got the New York Jets. I don't care what anyone says. I still think they're a very good team. They lost in week 1. It was a tough game in San Francisco. I'm going to say this over and over. The New York Jets are my team to win the Super Bowl this year. We'll see if that happens. And if it does, you heard it here first. At number 7, we got Seattle. Another 3-0 team, bad competition, but they can't. They're beating who they're supposed to beat, and they're 3-0. At number 8, I've got the Detroit Lions with their improved defense. Green Bay Packers at number 9, Malik Willis has done very well so far. He's got a home to the Vikings this week, so that should be a good test. At number 10, San Francisco. Only 1-2, but they won against the Jets. They lost to my Vikings, very good team. And they lost as a division favorites to the Rams last week. Again, my emphasis, I always take the home division favorites, rather the dogs. At number 11, I've got the Houston Texans. At number 12, Tampa Bay. Now, what I've done is I've made four other tiers. In my second tier, I've got the New Orleans Saints, Baltimore Ravens, Los Angeles Chargers, Atlanta Falcons, and the Dallas Cowboys. I would have the Chargers in the top 12, but they're really banged up right now. Quarterback is going to play, but he's hurt. Both of the tackles are probably out. That's going to really hurt their chances, but still a good team. In the third tier, I've got the Arizona Cardinals, the Washington Commanders, Los Angeles Rams, Cincinnati Bengals, and the New York Giants. Now, the Bengals are 0-3, but they're they're the best 0-3 team in the NFL, better than their record anyways. In the fourth tier, I've got the Miami Dolphins, the Las Vegas Raiders, the Cleveland Browns, the Indianapolis Colts, the Chicago Bears. Now, the Dolphins would be higher, but they're really hit by injuries. They're down to their fourth-string quarterback. We'll talk about that later. And the Cleveland Browns have the potential to move up, but the Bears have a very good defense, struggling offensively with the rookie quarterback and bad coaching. We'll talk about that later. And in the fifth tier, I've got the Denver Broncos, the New England Patriots, the Carolina Panthers, the Tennessee Titans, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, we've got a couple of AFC South teams in there. I've mentioned that they're not very good. The Broncos looked well last week with the rookie Bo Nix at quarterback. They have a chance to move up. New England Patriots have a very good defense, but I still have them ranked very low. And the Carolina Panthers got off the schneid last week, but I think they're going to regress. And we're going to talk about one of my favorite players to bet on in the upcoming segment. I'm going to take a quick look at the board here. Yeah, in that Dallas game, Dallas got 63% of the money, and the Giants got 37%. It was enough to move that line up. We're really interesting. You know, there's another game I see on the board a little bit later we're going to talk about where sometimes you have to see where the money is going. And not only where the money is going, but who is behind the money. And you'll start to see little patterns. When you see that the amount of money is pretty close, like say 55 to 45, that's a lot of public money. Like if the line is not moving, you sort of know if it's public money or if it's the betting syndicates and the sharp guys. There's one game later that I can't wait to talk about. I'll tease you about it. It's a split. Right now it's 52% to 48%, and the line has moved pretty significantly. I want to talk about that, but that is a Monday nighter, and so you're going to have to wait. I will obviously give the pick. I want to remind you to join me on Twitter. My handle there is LTTMMNFL. That's Let's Take the Man's Money NFL for a chance to win some of my swag. I also want to give a big shout out to the NFL YouTube prognosticators. I've talked to a couple of them. Great group of guys. They do videos all the time. You can find them on the Facebook page, NFL prognosticators, NFL YouTube prognosticators. I should remember I started that group. And I've talked to a couple of them, and I'm convinced a couple of them to come and be guests on the show. Look for that in the next couple of weeks. Big shout out to those guys, Moon and JR and Andy and all these great guys. Very entertaining videos that they do. West Coast Martin. Also want to give a big shout out to John and Erica, who are visiting me from Spain, and Camilo and Lena, who are visiting me from Colombia. Now, they're listening to this, probably don't understand because they don't speak English, but big shout out to them. And like I said, in the comments section, let me know where you're listening from. Well, apparently, we're getting people from all around the world, from America, Canada, Colombia, Spain, Brazil, Mexico, Germany, and many more. Okay. So what we'll do is we'll take a quick break, and right after we'll be back with the start of the picks. You're listening to CKDJ. My name is Gio.
We now return to Let's Take the Man's Money with Gio on CKDJ 107.9.
The Welcome back, everyone. CKDJ 107.9. Let's take the man's money. My name is Gio. All right. Our first game that we're going to look at has the Pittsburgh Steelers going to Indianapolis. The Steelers are my sixth-ranked team. They're 3-0. The board says 64% of the money is coming in on Pittsburgh. The line opened up at -1.5. It's now -2.5 across the board. Pittsburgh won their first game at Atlanta, 18-10. Then they beat Denver in Denver, 13-6. And they won their home opener last week against the Chargers, 20-10. Classic Pittsburgh wins. That Pittsburgh kicker's leg is going to fall off. You know, the Steelers aren't scoring a ton of points. They're relying on the kicker a lot. But their dedication to the run game and paired that with their dominant defense makes winning very manageable. Mike Tomlin's teams thrive with this formula. That's a Mike Tomlin-style team for sure, especially a quarterback, and they won't stray from it. You know, though Justin Fields threw his first interception of the season last week, his performance through the air offset it. He was actually 25 for 32 for 245 yards and a touchdown. Pittsburgh's offense has improved from last year, but that bar was pretty low. And Tomlin, you know, he has exactly what he needs. A league average offense that protects the football combined with their elite defense. The Steelers are deservedly 3-0, though many are waiting for them to beat a top-tier team before giving them full credit. As for Indianapolis, I've got them in the fourth tier. They're 1-2. They lost at home to division rival Houston, 29-27, but they did cover that game. Then they lost to Green Bay. And they won at home against Chicago last week, 21-16. This is a team that is going along with the Geo script. They lose straight up, but cover the spread as home division dogs. And they lose to a team with a scrub quarterback playing his first game and don't cover the spread. I like when that happens. The Colts managed to secure their first win despite a lackluster performance from Anthony Richardson. The defense stepped up in key moments, and Jonathan Taylor's strong running game ultimately carried the team to victory. However, the Colts have a significant problem with Richardson. His decision-making as a passer has been a major issue, as evidenced by his 50% completion rate, a 39 quarterback rating, and an NFL-high 6 interceptions. While head coach Shane Steichen, I can never pronounce his name, he hasn't helped Richardson by limiting his Cam Newton-like rushing ability. The bigger concern is his performance in the passing game. Looks like the Steelers get a good chance to go 4-0 to start the season. So, you know what we're going to do? We're going to lay the points here. We're going to take the Pittsburgh Steelers -2.5 as far as the over is. I'm looking at different totals right now. We're going to settle on the main one. I've got them at 40.5. So let's take Pittsburgh -2.5, and let's take under the 40.5. Our next game has my Minnesota Vikings going to Green Bay. The total in that game is 43.5, and the line has moved a little bit. I'm seeing Green Bay -2.5, and there's a couple of threes poking their head on the board. Mostly 2.5 still. Minnesota has looked really good. I've got them as my third-ranked team. They're 3-0. They won at New York, stomping all over the Giants in Week 1. Then they shocked the world with that gutsy 23-17 home win over San Francisco. They followed that up with a convincing 34-7 win at home over Houston. Wow. The Vikings have built an impressive resume, taking down both the 49ers and Texans in back-to-back home games. Sam Darnold has been very effective. He's second in quarterback rating, only behind Bills quarterback Josh Allen. Not bad company. While Brian Flores' defense is thriving, the fun doesn't seem to be slowing down for Minnesota and for me. In fact, the Vikings are making a case of the best team in the NFC. Many expected Houston to pull off a win in Week 3, but instead, Minnesota, led by Darnold, wide receiver Justin Jefferson, and dominant defense controlled the game. While Houston made some mistakes, the Vikings clearly looked like the better team, with two of their victories coming against top 10 teams. Minnesota's proving they belong in the upper tier of the NFL contenders. As far as Green Bay is concerned, they're 2-1. They're my number 9 ranked team. They lost at home to Philly 35-29, but then they beat the Colts and Tennessee in back-to-back weeks. They're 2-0 with backup quarterback Malik Willis. The Packers continue to showcase Matt LaFleur's offensive brilliance. He really is quite the offensive-minded guru. He adapts to their opponent and the quarterback that he has every week. He's very good at that, underrated. The team should be especially pleased with defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley's defensive scheme. I mean, they're getting good coaching on both sides of the football. When Jordan Love was initially ruled out for 3 to 5 games, fans hoped for at least 2 wins during that stretch with Malik Willis under center. Mission accomplished. You know, I think I bet against Willis last week because I like to bet the backup quarterback the first week and then bet against him the following week. It might take 2 weeks for this thing to happen, although the home division favorite has been winning a lot. They're not going to win every game. Maybe I'm being a little bit of a homer here. You know, this will be an interesting home division favorite situation because, like I said, they've covered 4 to 5 times. But the quarterback has won 2 straight. I think he's due for a letdown. You know what I'm going to do? The total here is 43.5 points. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. I'm going to take the Minnesota Vikings +3, and let's take under the 43.5. Our next game up has the Jacksonville Jaguars at Houston. This line opened up at 4.5 for the Texans. It's now moved to 5.5. 62% of the money is coming in on Houston. Jacksonville's lost to Miami 20-17. They lost at home to Cleveland 18-13. And then they got hammered on Monday Night Football against Buffalo. Losing to the Cleveland Browns looks even worse for Jacksonville a week later. Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback, and even head coach Doug Peterson now face the possibility of an 0-4 start. And I say that because maybe Doug Peterson might be the first coach fired. Doesn't seem to be working out. They lost a lot of games last year in a row, and a loss here would actually drop the Jaguars to 1-9 since December 23. So look for Peterson to be on the hot seat. You know, they let the Bills score touchdowns on every drive of the first half. The Jaguars are now tied with the Titans at 0-3 in that terrible division, languishing in the AFC's South cellar. Yeah, they're the worst division in the NFL. The offense is third last in points scored in the NFL, and that's really hurt the defense, which has allowed the most points against in the AFC, and their -45 point differential is only 1 point better than Carolina, who is dead last. I like what home division favorites have done so far this year, going 4-1 against the spread. Well, as for Houston, got them number 11 in my rankings. They're 2-1. They won at Indy 29-7. They won at home to Chicago in 19-13. Then they got smoked by my Vikings 34-7. Even when with one of the worst, actually, you know what? The 34-7, now that I think about it, is no real surprise. I think they didn't expect the Vikings defense to be that good. As far as their offense, they have one of the most talented skill groups and an outstanding quarterback. The Houston Texans just couldn't keep up with Minnie's defense last week. They struggled, and so far all the other teams have struggled as well. But C.J. Stroud's multiple turnovers compounded the problems, while the Texans' lack of a run game was pretty evident, as third-string running back Cam Akers offered little impact in the game last week. Offensively, the Texans remained inconsistent, with Stroud experiencing a sophomore slump despite his arsenal of weapons. Defensively, Houston also struggles with week-to-week consistency, sometimes giving up too many big plays. The Texans need to learn from that loss last week, and I think they do. I really like this as a blowout here. The line is -5.5. You know what we're going to do? Let's take Houston -5.5, and let's take over the 44.5 in that game. Our next game on the docket has the New Orleans Saints at Atlanta. Looking right now, that game has moved a little bit. The line opened up as Atlanta 1.5-point favorites. They're now 2.5-point favorites. I've got New Orleans in my second here. They're 2-1 straight up. They routed the Panthers 47-10 at home in week one. And then they crushed Dallas in Dallas 44-19. Lost at home in a fist fight to the Eagles last week 15-12. Did you hear that loud thud coming out of New Orleans last week? The Saints offense came back down to earth, and Derek Carr couldn't complete the comeback after an off day. Needless to say, I had Derek Carr as my quarterback on my fantasy team, probably jinxed the poor man. But, you know, he was playing over his head, and maybe this is the real Derek Carr that we remember from his days as a Raider. Fortunately, though, for them, for the Saints, the defense continues to excel, keeping them competitive in every game. New Orleans has exceeded expectations this season, but Carr's limitations are evident. After a quick start, like I said, I grabbed him on my fantasy roll, and boom, play like Derek Carr. Despite being sacked only once on Sunday, Carr completed just 14 of 25 passes. You know, the meager 5.7 yards per attempt. Pretty low. When the game was on the line, he threw a costly interception, ending their chance at a comeback against the Eagles. While the final score, 15-12, looked close, it was actually misleading. Philadelphia outgained the Saints by 239 yards with turnovers and a missed field goal, you know, keeping the game tighter than it should have been. As for Atlanta, they're 1-2. I have them in my second tier. They lost at home 18-10 against the Steelers in week one. Then they won at Philadelphia 22-21. And they lost at home 22-17 to Kansas City in the Monday nighter. That was a thrilling game that they could have won. Some real weird coaching decisions at the end of the game affected the outcome. And if you backed them, the spread like I did, you were probably yelling at your television. You know, has anyone had a more difficult schedule to start the season than the Atlanta Falcons? They pushed the Chiefs in prime time, which is a very good sign. They lost to a very good Pittsburgh team. Nothing to be ashamed of, despite their 1-2 record. Anyone who watched the Sunday night football game had to come away with Kirk Cousins impressed with him. He's starting to settle in. You know, he's unlocking the Falcons' offense in ways not seen since Matt Ryan was throwing the ball to Julio Jones. Remember that combination of Matty Ice to Julio? Defensively, they're not flawless, but Jesse Bates' playmaking ability is a game changer. As they head into a crucial week four matchup against the Saints, Atlanta has a solid chance to even their record, even if they can't replicate their recent performances. I think Carr and the Saints' offense aren't quite as good as the first 2 weeks showed us, and Cousins is settling in for the Falcons. I'm going to take a quick peek at the board here. I see mostly 2.5s. More of the money is coming in on New Orleans, and the money actually, the line is actually moving the other way. That's a sign that sharp money is coming in on the home team here. When the line moves the other way and most of the bets are on the other side, that's a sign of sharp action. And then this is something that you really should keep your eye on. Follow the sharp money, follow the syndicate money. They seem to know a little bit more than the average Joe. So at 2.5, what I'm going to do, what we're going to do at 41.5 is the total. Let's lay the points. This is going to be a division game where the home team is a slight favorite, and I'm going to still lean on the home division favorites here. So let's take Atlanta -2.5, and let's take the over 41.5. So we're going to go to another game before the break here. We're looking at the LA Rams at Chicago. Now, the Rams are 1-2. I have them in my third tier. Like I said, I would have them higher if not for injuries for this week. You know, that changes from week to week. Just because a team is really good, if they have a lot of injuries, you'll see me put them down a little bit and vice versa. You know, it doesn't mean that they're bad. It just means that's the ranking for this week, and I have them in the third tier. The Rams lost to Detroit in that overtime game in week one, 26-20. It was a heartbreaker for them. Then they got blown out 41-10 in Arizona. And then they won at home to the division rival San Francisco 49ers 27-24. So in the last two games, the Rams have lost as road division favorites and then won as home division dogs, proving what I keep saying. Take home division dogs, bet against home division favorites. Also, it's one thing to have talented wide receiver Puka Nacua out, but then not having their stud wide receiver Cooper Kupp, you know, last week, once again, it proves that a team will rally in the first game that the star is out. In this case, Kupp. Although Nacua is great, Kupp is the star. And the team always seems to rally, or the other team gets a 702 call because all the money comes on the other side. That might be one of the most remarkable wins we'll see in the NFL this season. Well, you know what? What we're going to do, we're going to come back to that game after this break. You're listening to Let's Take the Man's Money. I am Gio. We'll see you shortly.
CKDJ 107.9.
We now return to Let's Take the Man's Money with Gio on CKDJ 107.9.
All right, we're back. We were talking about the LA Rams and Chicago, and I ran out of time because I talked too much. Apparently, my producer Romano is telling me. We were talking about how the Rams are 1-2 in the third tier of my ranking, and how they had a remarkable win last week. I mean, they were down 24-14 to their biggest rival, the San Francisco 49ers. And all things considered, you know, they were missing Nacua, Kupp. They were missing Steve Avila, Jonah Jackson, Darius Williams. It was an incredible team effort, a great rally. It's something I cannot say enough times. A team will rally the first week of a major injury, and then they'll flop the following week. As for Chicago, 1-2, I have them in my fourth tier. Not the greatest offense in the NFL with the rookie quarterback. Some good weapons, though. Very good defense. They won at home against Tennessee. Then they lost at Houston. A good team. But then they lost at Indianapolis as well. A bit disappointing if you're a Bears fan. But as a Vikings fan, I'm laughing at you. I think this may be the most poorly coached team in the NFL again. What's the coach's name? Eberflus? They call him Eberflus. He's another coach I think could be on the hot seat. He's been there a couple of years now. I don't know how much patience the Bears fans are going to have with that guy. He could be on the hot seat as well as Peterson in Jacksonville. The Chicago Bears, they actually let Caleb Williams loose against Indianapolis last week. While his stats improved, mistakes and poor situational offense continued to plague that team. The defense keeps giving Chicago chances to win, but the questionable decisions on the offense. Facing a Colts run defense that allows over 200 yards per game, the Bears, with a rookie quarterback, inexplicably attempted nearly twice as many passes as runs. They passed the ball 52 times and ran it only 28. This is with a rookie quarterback, and they averaged just 2.3 yards per carry on the run. Oh, not a good offense at all. Much of this can be blamed on an offensive line, particularly the interior, which ranks among the weakest in the league and struggles to protect their franchise quarterback. Despite Chicago's promising receiving core and defense, their issues up front are overshadowing any progress this team is making. That being said, the Rams are in a bad spot after after rallying from last week against a divisional opponent as home dogs. They came back from a double-digit deficit to beat them as well, which usually is a bit of an emotional high, and there's a letdown. There's a lot of things going against the Rams in this game. I like the fact that they rallied last week, and I like the fact that they won't rally this week. They beat a division opponent at home as dogs, and this looks like a really flat spot for the Rams here. Looking at the board, taking a peek, we've got minus threes almost everywhere. Yeah, it's even up to 3.5. You know what that indicates to me? That indicates some sharp money, because the Bears are only getting 35% of the action. This game opened up minus 1.5. Now it's bet up to 3.5. It's across the that magic 3 number. Before the show started, I saw that this was at minus 3. I got my bet in at minus 3, actually. And now it's minus 3.5. I might shy away from that. That is a pretty big number, but I think that might even come down as the public starts betting on the Rams here with that hook scaring them off. As right now, if you can get minus 3, I will take the Bears. The total in this game is 40.5. That hasn't changed. I'm going to stick with my guns here. I think the Rams are due for a letdown. I think the Bears will find a way to win. The Rams are banged up on offense, and that is a good Chicago Bears defense. I'm going to lay the points here. If you can get minus 3, get it. If you're looking at minus 3.5, I would wait till maybe closer to game time and see if a 3 is coming around again, or maybe shop around. There's different books with different numbers. Most of them are still looking for 3.5. So, oh, I see one book is now down to 3. That's actually my book. Yeah, I'm going to do that. Let's lay the points. Let's take the Chicago Bears minus 3, and let's take under the 40.5. I'm starting to like that game a little bit more. The more I look about it, the more I think about it. A lot of stars are lining up for Chicago. So we'll move on to our next game. We've got the Philadelphia Eagles going to Tampa, where right now the Bucs are 1.5-point dogs at home. That game opened up Tampa Bay 2.5-point dogs. So the money is 58% on the Eagles. I'm not sure if that's sharp money or public money. A little bit of both, I think. As far as the Eagles are concerned, I've got them in my number 5 overall. They won at home versus Green Bay. They lost at home to Atlanta in that very close game. And then they won at New Orleans in another hard-fought game. Running back Saquon Barkley led the way with 156 scrimmage yards and 2 touchdowns. Two touchdowns for Barkley at his age. Very good. Barkley leads the NFL in rushing with 351 yards. He has to be considered one of the most pleasant surprises of the year so far. Against a red-hot Saints squad, the Philadelphia Eagles stepped up. For a come-from-behind win, Barkley led the charge, while Dallas Goedert also shined, hauling in 10 catches for 170 yards. A.J. Brown was sidelined, and Devonta Smith, the other wide receiver, he got hurt in that game, and it was Dallas Goedert, the tight end, who came through. The guy I lost to, well, the one who won the pool that I was in, I came in fourth. The guy who came in first in the fantasy pool, he had Dallas Goedert as tight end. My guy was a bum that week, but he's going to be on his own. I'm not sure if that you're going to have enough weapons to keep up with Tampa Bay. They're 2-1. I have them 12th. They're in my top 12. They do have a very good offense. I mean, they beat Washington 37-20. They beat Detroit 20-16. They didn't get off the bus last week, losing 26-7 at home to Denver. If you were still alive in your suicide pool going into week 3, good for you, but you're probably no longer. I bet everyone who was still in their suicide pool had Tampa Bay at home, and that didn't happen. Now, you can give the Buccaneers some slack, though, for Sunday's blowout loss to the previously winless Broncos. I'm mad at myself because I should have seen that coming. They were due for a letdown after that Detroit game the week before. They were also banged up. Three of their best defensive players, Antoine Winfield Jr., Vita Vey, and Kalish Kansi, were all hurt. Despite Denver's 70-yard opening touchdown drive, Tampa Bay's defense actually settled down, allowing just 282 yards and 1 touchdown the rest of the game. But, you know, they were beaten up on defense. The Bucks seemed unprepared for Denver's physical play at home. I'm surprised Denver was that physical in that game. If you watched it, I was impressed. Yeah, they were probably suffering a letdown after the road win against the Lions and overlooked the Broncos and their rookie quarterback. You know, Tampa Bay, though, their offense, they started with a three and out, an interception, another three and out, a loss on downs, and were down 17-0 at one point. They were never in the game. Too many dink and dunk throws by quarterback Baker Mayfield, a guy I was really high on at the beginning of the year. You know, he's got a couple of very good receivers. He's got Evans and Godwin. The longest completion of the game was 13 yards. You have to throw the ball to Mike Evans more than three times in one game. The conspiracy guys have a good argument that the Bucks got the 702 call last week, but this could be a tough spot for the Eagles playing back-to-back roadies. The total in this game is 41.5. At game time, the Bucks were one-point dogs. Taking a quick peek, 1.5 point now. Money moved away from the opener. It started at 2.5. You know what? I like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to recover from last week's debacle. Philadelphia has got too many injuries at wide receiver for a team that relies on their wide receivers. I'm going to lay the points here. That's what we'll do. Let's take Tampa Bay plus 1.5, and let's take the under 41.5. We'll keep our eye on that line, though, because that line has the potential of moving. I even see some ones. I see everything from one and a half to two. No, it's 1 and 1.5, but it's trending the other way. We're going to keep our eye on that line. But as it stands now, I do like the Buccaneers plus 1.5 and the under 41.5. Now, the next game we're going to look at has the Cincinnati Bengals, the Bungles, at Carolina. Interesting game. The Bengals, they're 0-3, and they got whacked last week against Washington. Outscored 38-33. Now, you can give the Bengals the benefit of the doubt to losing a week one against the Patriots. You know, they always start off the year bad. I think they lost their first two games last year. They might have even been 1-3 to start their. So you can give them a little bit of slack for that. Then they looked really good against the Chiefs the following week. They seem to play the Chiefs really, really well. Always remember that. Some teams just play other teams very well. I know it's a year away, but next year when the Bengals play the Chiefs, if they do, depending on the schedule, keep that in mind. They always play Kansas City tough, but to have been outscored like that at home to Washington is almost unforgivable. But we've seen Cincinnati dig itself out of holes before. Last year, they did the same thing. They lost their first two. They won the third game, didn't cover, lost the fourth game, and then looked like world beaters until the playoffs. A little quick note. During the Super Bowl era, 255 teams have started 0-3. Just six of them have made the playoffs. Things are not looking good in Cincinnati right now. It's desperation time, if I've ever seen it. As for Carolina, they're 1-2. They lost to New Orleans, lost at home to Los Angeles, the Chargers, and then they won 36-22 at Las Vegas. How about Andy Dalton, the Red Rifle, or as I like to call him, the Red ATM Machine? I've been making money off of him for years. Probably my favorite player to bet on. It seems I get Andy Dalton right all the time. I get other players wrong all the time. Ben Roethlisberger, great player. I couldn't get that guy right, whether I bet on him or against him. And Andy Dalton, I just seem to have figured that guy out. As for the Carolina, I guess Bryce Young was the problem for the Panthers. In the first 2 weeks, the Panthers' offense averaged just 102 yards passing and 6.5 points per game. Ooh. But when Dalton took over, he immediately sparked the offense. I mean, it's just one game, but in the first half against the Raiders, Dalton threw for 212 yards and three touchdowns. Now, he actually unlocked Carolina's upgraded receiving core, and that jump-started the rushing attack. It's funny how one thing helps the other. No rushing attack, no passing attack, no passing attack, no rushing attack. But when you have a really good, you know, the other one clicks as well because you keep the defense on their heels. And that's what Dalton was able to do last week. Although the Raiders might have been on a bit of a down themselves. They had won the week before and that come from behind win against Baltimore. While some of this can be attributed to the quarterback changes, it's clear the team was ready to respond to someone other than Young. at quarterback. And it looks like the Panthers at least won't be historically awful this year. You know, they were the last team, worst team last year. They would have had the first pick overall, but they had traded it to the Bears. How embarrassing is that? A lot of people had Carolina as probably the worst team this year. They still might end up being the worst team, but for one game, Andy Dalton came in and gave a spark for sure. Since he's back, start against the wall. If they lose this game, that just might be it. I mean, 0-4, I don't think they can come back and make the playoffs. Although the division might not be as hard as we thought. They don't, except for Pittsburgh, the division is as good as we thought. But you can't let the Steelers go 4-0. I think the Steelers are going to win this game. Cincinnati has got to win. I'm going to stick with the Geo script. They rallied for Andy last week. The Heat is off to win. Expect a letdown, and especially from Andy Dalton. He is who he is. It could be revenge against his old Bengals, but I think that his old team gets revenge on him, gets off the snide, and does so thoroughly. The line is 4.5. Let's lay the 4.5. Let's take the 46.5 over in that game, and we'll be right back.
The following program is for entertainment purposes only. Betting involves financial risk and is not suitable for everyone. Always bet responsibly and never wager more than you can afford to lose.
Welcome to Let's Take the Man's Money with Gio on CKDJ 107.9, your go-to source for NFL betting insights, odds, and expert picks. Whether you're chasing that perfect parlay or looking for the latest line movement, Gio has the strategies and stats to help you beat the book. Get your playbook ready. It's Sunday morning, and it's time to take the man's money.
Welcome back, everyone, to Let's Take the Man's Money on CKDJ 107.9. I am Gio. I want to talk about the line on that Cincinnati-Carolina game. It opened up at 7.5 for the Bengals. 67% of the money has come in on Cincinnati, and the line has gone down to -4.5. That's a big, 3 points, and it's crossed the magic 7. And despite the majority of the money is coming in on Cincinnati, so on one hand and on the other hand. Now, to me, that tells me that the sharps are on Carolina here. First of all, the sharps aren't always right, okay? Otherwise, they'd have all the money, and Vegas would have closed a long time ago. But I also don't know if that money came in on Cincinnati when the line moved. I don't have my data on that one. And that, like I said, with Andy Dalton rallying the team last week as the scrub, coming in, the team always rallies. They always fall flat the following week. I'm still going to stick to it. I know the line has moved, but I'm staying with Cincinnati -4.5. So what we'll do is we'll go on to the next game as the Denver Broncos go to New York, where the Jets are currently 8.5-point favorites. That game opened up New York -7.5. It's pretty evenly split, so the one-point movement is probably sharp money, although that's not a significant number from -7.5 to -8.5. Still, it tells you something. I mean, you go with the evidence that's presented for you, and if you see a line moving one way, despite the fact that the percentage is pretty even, the syndicates are probably behind that. As for Denver, I have them as 29th overall in the fifth year. They're 1-2. They lost at Seattle 26-20. They lost at home to Pittsburgh 13-6. And then they won at Tampa 26-17 last week. The Denver Broncos saw exactly why they made Bo Nix their first-round draft pick. I mean, his toughness, his athleticism, playmaking ability all came through. Remember, this is a guy that in college started, I believe it was 61 games. He split his college tenure with two teams. Was it Auburn and Oregon, I believe. He started 61 games. That's a lot of experience, even for a rookie. I mean, the guy knows what he's doing. He's not 21 years old. I believe he's 24. Nick stepped up, and he protected the football. He avoided sacks smartly and patiently. He took what the defense offered while mixing in some deep shots. Mind you, like I said, Tampa Bay did have some pretty serious injuries on the defensive side. But, you know, he took advantage of it. Nick's game management and the defensive performance last week, that was a solid game. And you know what? It gives Tampa a solid foundation for the Broncos. It gives Denver a solid foundation for the Broncos moving forward. You got to like what you saw last week. Keep in mind, it came against a team that probably was on an emotional low after a really good win on the road, and they were injured. Still, a win is a win is a win. As for the Jets, they're 2-1. I have them 6th overall in my power rankings, so you may not agree with that. You can let me know by sending me a message on Twitter. Follow me at Let's Take Mads Money NFL. That's LTTMMNFL. Give me your thoughts on things like that, whether you think the Steelers are too high in my rankings, who you think might win the Super Bowl, who you like this week, and where you're calling from for a chance to win some Let's Take the Man's Money swag. You look sharp going to the window collecting your monies wearing one of the LTTMM ball caps. As for the Jets, they lost at San Francisco. They beat Tennessee at home and on the road, and then they won their home opener last week, beating the Patriots 24-3. Yeah, my pick to win the Super Bowl. I'm going to say it over and over. Might be too late to make a futures bet on them. I did already. We'll see if that comes to fruition. It's a long season. I hate making future bets. You know, you got to wait 4 months. And sometimes you're eliminated after 2 months. So you took the Bengals in the over total. You're probably on your way to being eliminated there. But getting back to the Jets, I have them as my top three defense, maybe even better than that. They could be the best defense in the NFL. And the running back tandem of Breece Hall and Braylon Allen is emerging as the NFL's best, one of them anyways, if not the best. This leaves the Jets' potential largely in the hands of Mr. Aaron Rodgers. And even if Rodgers performs at above average level for Rodgers, with New York's solid running game and that amazing defense, I think they have a shot every week to win and certainly have a chance at winning the Super Bowl. You know, I think they're going to be at least Super Bowl contenders, and not only in they're going to prove themselves week after week. It won't only be in my eyes, it'll be in yours. You watch. You'll start to like the Jets. You'll keep putting money on them. They have the formula right. You know, they have an elite defense, strong rushing attack, and Rodgers' steady leadership. It's more than enough to deliver a high win total. While that was a nice effort from rookie Bo Nix last week, it's a huge step up defensively as the Bucs D, as I said, was really banged up. It's also back-to-back roadies for Denver, while the Jets will be playing their second in a row at home. And don't forget, New York played the following week on the Thursday, so they get the extra rest. I'm looking at the board right now. New York Jets, where are we? Not too much movement, actually, in this game. It went from, -7.5 to 8.5. Yeah, it's 8.5, so I see an 8. I even see a 9 on the board. I won't name the book, but this one book always has a higher number. You should have an account there because you can really shop around. It's always good to shop around, and if you can get an extra point here, a point and a half, why not? 54% of the money coming in on the Jets, pretty even. I think a lot of the public is going to be on Denver here, and despite only 54% of the money, the line has moved in the right direction if you're a Jets backer. I am. You know what? On my book, it's 8, -8. No, it's actually moved to as it's moving as I talk. You know what? I'm going to keep it at 8 points. I'm going to take the New York Jets to beat Denver, and I'm going to lay the points. So let's take the Jets minus 8. The total in this game is 39.5. Let's take under that. I think the Jets will shut down Denver, something like they did last week, 20-something to maybe 10. So let's take New York Jets minus 8, and let's take the under 39.5. All right, our next game has the Washington Commanders at Arizona. The Commanders are 2-1. They lost their season opener 37-20 at Tampa Bay. They were lucky to win their game against the Giants in week 2. And then they stunned the Bengals in Cincinnati, winning 38-33 on... That was the Monday nighter, wasn't it? Was that Romano? My producer, he's telling me that was the Monday nighter. You know what? Who were those masked men wearing Washington uniforms on Monday Night Football? Wow, what a thumping. Who cares that they gave up 33 points? It was on the road. And Cincinnati does have a good offense. Say what you want, but the Commanders are 2-1. Entering the season, rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels was, for me, the top pick as Offensive Rookie of the Year. And he's living up to the hype, considering the offensive line isn't very good. And young Mr. Daniels' health will probably be at risk all season. But how about Daniels going 21 of 23 passes for 254 yards and 2 touchdowns? He even ran 12 times for 39 yards and a touchdown. What a fantasy monster. Did not have him last week. Now the defense is bottom 5, and I expect them to be scored on a lot this year, so take a lot of overs from now on involving the Commanders. They found themselves a franchise quarterback in Jaden Daniels, and he's led Washington to consecutive games without a punt. Believe that? The Commanders went into Cincinnati in week 3 and took down the Bengals as huge underdogs, currently tied for the lead in the NFC East. How about that? As for the Arizona Cardinals, they're 1-2. They lost at Buffalo, they won at home to the Rams, and they lost at home versus the Detroit Lions. Now, the Cardinals, they've shown flashes of offense with Kyler Murray, Marvin Harrison Jr., the wide receiver, another candidate for Offensive Rookie of the Year, and others, but it fell flat against the Lions, but the Lions are a pretty good team. Despite another loss, this young team is proving that they can make things interesting against some of the best NFL teams. A healthy Murray, well, he's been electrifying. But Jonathan Gannon's defense, while hanging in there, they simply lack the talent to consistently set up better field position for more scoring opportunities. Still, the Cardinals have every reason to be excited about this team's future. And even this season promises to be a lot of fun. They're never out of the games. They're always a tough out, especially at home. As for Washington, you know, they're coming off of a high on the road with that victory on Monday night. And the Cardinals are, like I said, they're always a tough team to play. I see a lot of points being scored in this game, but usually those games that look too obvious to be over tend to go the other way. Although I had the Commanders last week as an over pick, I think I might have had them as an under, and then changed my mind through the broadcast last week. They have a much better chance of going under the rest of the way, because like I said, they faced a Bengals team that, you know, been giving up a lot of points. I'm kind of at a loss here. In this one, I'm staring at the numbers right now, and I see Arizona minus 3.5. Now, this game opened up with the Cardinals minus 5.5, and it's been bet down to 3.5. I think what you're seeing here is a lot of love coming in for Washington. They are, the public has a very short memory, you know. You see that Washington put up an amazing amount of points. And sometimes the public just falls in love with the team. Try to remember that you're never really as good as your last win in the NFL. You're never really as bad as your last loss. Teams tend to go the other way the following weeks. Things tend to go back to the mean. And I think that's what's going to happen here. At -3.5, you saw in week one, especially when the week that so many favorites covered, that 3.5, that extra hook got everybody. It got me in week one. I went dogs in week one, and there were like three games that the spread was 3.5. There was another one that was 4, which is virtually the same number, a couple of 4.5s and a 5. They all covered. I said at the beginning of the broadcast, for those who missed it, that last week the favorites were 8-8 against the spread, so pretty well split. One week before that, it was the dogs that covered, I think, 11 games, and the week before that, the favorites covered 11 games. I think it's going to swing one way or another. I have a feeling that more favorites are going to win this week for some strange reason. And that 3.5 doesn't seem to scare me anymore. You know, once upon a time when the scores were lower, that would have, but not so much this year. You know, yeah, like I said, that was a nice effort by Bo Nix, but it's a huge step up defensively as the Bucks were banged up. It's, you know, back-to-back roadies for the Denver. While the Jets will be playing the second in a row at home, Arizona Cardinals. Sorry, I'm going to the wrong team. I like Arizona in this game. You know what I'm going to do? The line in that is 48.5. It tells you that it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think Arizona will eventually pull away in this game, so that's what we'll do. Let's take Arizona -3.5, and let's take over the 48.5. We'll be right back.
We now return to Let's Take the Man's Money with Gio on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back, everyone, to Let's Take the Man's Money on CKTJ 107.9. I am Gio. Looking at our next game, we've got the New England Patriots going to San Francisco. The line in that game opened up at 10.5, and I see mostly 10.5s on the board. Could have swore I saw a 10 earlier. As for New England, they upset Cincinnati 16-10 in week one. Wow, that just got everybody's fantasy suicide pool up in a knot. Then they lost at home to the Seahawks in overtime. Lost it to their division rivals, the Jets, last week 24-3. You can sort of see them going backwards here. Week three actually made it clear that prospect Drake May is likely not ready to step in as New England Patriots starting quarterback just yet. The offensive line has been a disaster, allowing 41 total pressures, 26 hurries, and 8 sacks in just 3 games with such poor protection. The Patriots are going to stick with Jacoby Brissett for now. Don't know what to say about Brissett. You know, in week one, I said, I don't know how this guy gets work. And then he won week one. Yeah, shows you why he gets work. But he's all alone out there. He's scrambling for his life, it seems, all the time. With Brissett, the Patriots offense has been struggling, but they don't really have much talent there. They are better than last year, but the team will likely need to transition to May sooner rather than later. You kind of wonder when you see the writing on the wall for a quarterback, whether the team gives up or not. We're going to talk about that situation a little bit later. I'm wondering if the Patriots are giving up on the quarterback, if not the team. They're going to need May sometime to come in. I predict that he's going to be starting quarterback for the Patriots in the next couple of weeks. As for now, it is Brissett. For San Francisco, they're 1-2, but I still have them as my 10th best overall team. They beat the Jets at home with no McCaffrey. Remember that? McCaffrey was out, the running back. Then they lost at Minnesota 23-17. They had that week two letdown. Then they lost at Los Angeles with the Rams, 27-24, after blowing the big lead. They lost on the road as division favorites. And no team has followed the Geno scripts better than the San Francisco 49ers. They rallied in week one without their star, running back Christian McCaffrey. They fell flat in week two and lost a game they could have won. Then they lost straight up and against the spread as road favorites to the Rams, who were without their top player. Man, if this could only be this easy. Like I said, when they follow the Geo script, it's like stealing with three hands. A Super Bowl jinx? Maybe. It's bizarre how often that happens. Still, this is a dangerous team that can score, unlike their opponents. It kind of looks like a get-right spot for the Niners here. Looking at the board, 10.5 across the board. Yeah, that I'm not going to say that I'm a sharp or anything. I've been doing this for quite a while. I'm no square. I'm not a sharp. But I know a guy who knows a guy, okay? And that's all I'm going to say. And he says take San Francisco. And that is a big number, 10.5. I could have swore it was 10 before the show started. But 10.5, looking everywhere. I'm trying to shop around. I have two different places where I shop around. But yeah, it's pretty consistent. 55% of the money is coming in on the Niners, 45%. So that's pretty well split. My guy says that his guy says that lay the points. This is a total here is 40.5. What does that tell you? It tells you that the Patriots cannot score. And if the Patriots got 3 points last week against the Jets, how much better can they do against San Francisco? Not much. Can they hit 10? Maybe. That would mean that San Francisco could beat them, say, 30-10, and this game would, you know, still be easy for the Niners. Actually, I think the Niners are going to do better than that. This might be a blowout spot. I think it is a get-right spot for the Niners here, and the number is small. I'm going to take over. That's what we'll do. Let's lay the points. Let's take the San Francisco 49ers minus 10.5, and let's take the over 40.5. Our next game has the Cleveland Browns going to Las Vegas. This game opened up with Vegas as a half-point dog. Now they're 2.5-point dogs, so some pretty good movement here. Vegas is only getting 54% of the money, and they're getting more money, and the line is moving the other way. That might tell you something. Cleveland lost at home to Dallas, 33-17. They won at Jacksonville, 18-13. Then they lost to the Giants, 21-15. The Browns' season is spiraling downward. While Deshaun Watson threw two touchdown passes last week, his performance was underwhelming, with only 148 net passing yards on 37 attempts and 8 sacks taken. Ooh, you can't do that, Deshaun. Compounding the team's struggles, defensive end Myles Garrett is now injured. Now, that's a key injury, but it's on the defensive side. I don't know if it affects the rallying as much as when, say, the quarterback is out. If he does play, he actually has 3 different injuries, and he's going to be banged up if he does play. And with running back Nick Chubb out for the foreseeable future, the Browns, offensively, the situation looks grim. The trade for Watson, who's playing far below expectations, seems to have sunk the team, leaving the dog pound once again frustrated by ownership's decisions. Man, there have been a lot of quarterbacks on that team since they came back 30 years ago or so. And with Myles Garrett hurt, Watson will actually have to shoulder an even greater burden. And his ability to rise to the challenge is highly uncertain as the Browns might be facing yet another quarterback crossroads. Where have we heard that before? And like I said, I can't think of another team that has burned through more quarterbacks, first-round draft picks, and otherwise than the Browns. Looks like they'll be doing it again soon. I don't know, though, because they seem to sort of be trapped with Watson's contract. They're in a bad spot. As for the Raiders, they lost to the Chargers in Los Angeles in week one. They came from behind to beat the Ravens 26-23 in Baltimore. And then they fell flat in Carolina, losing 36-22 the past week to the lowly Carolina Panthers. The Raiders appeared to be riding high after their upset win over Baltimore, but seemed unprepared for the Panthers. While the Raiders pass rush managed to sack Andy Dalton a few times, Dalton was able to pick apart that secondary when he had time. Heading into next week's matchup with the Browns, it's hard to predict which version of the Raiders will show up. But it's highly, it's likely to be a low-scoring game, probably a snore fest. This is one that you probably don't need to watch, only exciting for the fans. Quarterback Gardner Minshew played the way I thought he would. Remember, he played well in week two, and Gardner Minshew, kind of like Andy Dalton, he is who he is. He'll play great. You'll think, oh, my goodness, he's a starting quarterback, and then he falls flat the following week. And he's following the Gardner Minshew script perfectly, following a great game with a bad game. He missed a big opportunity to secure the starting quarterback job against the Panthers' weak defense. This could push the Raiders to finally make the switch to rookie Aiden O'Connell, a decision many people feel should already be made. I'm wondering if here's another situation where a team is not going to be playing for the quarterback because they want the switch. One wonders if the Raiders players might not show up so much in this game. It's the kind of game that you should just take the points. And I'm looking at the board right now. 2.5 points. It went up from half a point. If you could have gotten Vegas at half a point at the opener, yeah. But in this kind of a game, no, actually, it's 2.5. It's you know, it's better to have waited. And if you would have waited, good for you. I'm going to hold my nose, and I'm going to take Vegas here. It's not my favorite game. I won't make my board. Yeah, I won't be going to the window with this game. But Vegas is telling you that it's going to be a low-scoring game. They got it 36.5. Yeah, I'm going to take the points. That's what we'll do. It's a low-scoring game. 36.5. I think there's potential for some scoring in this game. But I like Las Vegas here to cover. So that's what we'll do. Let's take Vegas plus 2.5, and let's take over the 36.5. And going to our next game, we've got the Kansas City Chiefs at the LA Chargers. Wow, the Chiefs, they continue to do it. They're 3-0, number one in the rankings. They won at home over Baltimore 27-20. They squeaked one out over Cincinnati 26-25. And they beat Atlanta last week 22-17. The Chiefs handled a tough road trip to Atlanta as Patrick Mahomes and company let, you know what they do? They let the other team make the kind of mistakes that Kansas never makes. They really remind me of the Patriots back in the day when that's what New England would do. They would be patient, kind of like a snake waiting for the right opportunity to strike. And that's what they do. And they let the other team just make the mistakes while they're very patient. Their defense remains as strong as ever, making the plays they need to make each week. Despite missing key players like Marquise Brown and Isaiah Pacheco, rookie Carson Steele, also known as the Alligator Man, stepped in Pacheco's absence. Rasheed Rice proved himself a true number one receiver, and the offensive line did a solid job protecting Mahomes. Though Atlanta's pass rush wasn't the stiffest test in that game, for some odd reason, they made that trade with New England for that pass rusher whose name escapes me, but he was not effective last week. Ultimately, the Chiefs remain the top team in the NFL, sitting at 3-0 and maintaining their top spot in the league until proven otherwise. As for Los Angeles, they're 2-1. I have them in the second tier. They won at home, beating the Raiders 22-10. They rolled over the Panthers 26-3 in Carolina, and then they lost 20-10 at Pittsburgh. It was Pittsburgh's home opener. Losing to the Steelers wasn't unexpected for the Los Angeles Chargers last week, but the real concern coming out of week three is Justin Herbert, the quarterback. He left the game in a walking boot. I think he's going to play today. We might want to check at around in the afternoon, about a half an hour before the game starts. So they list the starters and those who won't be starting. So keep your eye on that. But for now, I am assuming he's playing. The Chargers were actually leading the game for the most part, and we're still tied with Herbert when Herbert was playing until he got hurt. But not only that, but both the starting offensive tackles, Rashawn Slater and this year's first-round pick, Joe Alt, are out. Alt has a chance of playing, but Slater is definitely out, and Alt will be limited, and that's a big part of that offense. You remember Harbaugh, when he was in Michigan, all he did was run the ball. And the Chargers like to run. This will put more of the emphasis back on Herbert. The Chargers' defense is still without defensive end Joey Bosa. What a bad time to have all these injuries. So many key players in a critical matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs of all teams, who seem to catch a lot of breaks, don't they? Now, depending on Herbert, like if he's not there, they won't respect the passing the run game for sure. With that banged up line, I don't know what to say. A lot of things are pointing badly for the Chargers here. Harbaugh's offense could face stacked boxes to stop the run, limiting their effectiveness, is what I want to say. And the star quarterback is kind of hurt, and some key injuries on the offensive line. And now they're playing the two-time champion Kansas City Chiefs. Wow. Now, 60% of the money is on the Chargers right now. The game opened up at 8.5, and I'm seeing mostly 7.5s. I saw some 7s earlier. Maybe money has swung the other way. That 7.5 is a critical number. It's if you're a Chargers backer, it's better to be taking the getting the extra hook. You know, things are really, really odd in this game. Your brain says just take Kansas City, right? But are the Chiefs going to go 17-0 this year? No, they're not. As good as they are, the Patriots went 16-0 one year, and that is the exception to the rule. And like 50 years ago, the Dolphins had a perfect season, but it's really hard to do. You are probably going to lose a game, and it's going to come on the road, and it's probably going to come against a division opponent who knows you very well, who will fight tooth and nail in that game. And I kind of have the feeling that that's what's going to happen in this game. I always like to take home division dogs. I realize that the point spread is what it is. You know, that the injuries are factored into the point spread by Vegas already. You know that guy in the smoky room that sets the line? My hero, by the way. He knows that. He knows all of this information. He's factored all of those things into the line already. What the public thinks, though, is completely different. And he's setting a line that the public will bet 50% on either side. And I think with the number being over the touchdown, it's just stick to your guns and take the take the points. That's what we're going to do. The total in this game is 41.5. That tells you it's going to be not the highest scoring game. And in a game that's not going to be scoring that much, I like the points here. You know, that's what we're going to do. The number's 41.5. We're going to take the LA Chargers plus 7.5. And we're going to take over that number. So take LA Chargers 7.5 and take over 41.5. Now, we'll be back with the Sunday night game and the two Monday games right after this. You're listening to Let's Take the Man's Money, CKDJ 107.9. I am Gio. Don't forget to follow me on LTTMMNFL on Twitter, Let's Take the Man's Money NFL. And we'll see you right after the break.
We now return to Let's Take the Man's Money with Gio on CKDJ 107.9.
Yeah, welcome back, everyone. Let's Take the Man's Money on CKDJ 107.9. I am Gio. Let's go right to the Sunday night game. We've got the Baltimore Ravens hosting Buffalo. Oh, that's going to be a good game. Baltimore are 2.5-point favorites in this game. The total is 46.5. As for Buffalo, well, they're 3-0. They won at home against Arizona. They smoked Miami, and then they crushed the Jaguars at home on Monday Night Football. The Buffalo Bills don't just beat teams. They annihilate them. Last week's Monday Night Football game was no different, as they scored touchdowns on 5 straight drives and only punted once in a rout of the poor Jaguars. In the offseason, the Bills lost some talent, especially at wide receiver, but Stephon Diggs, though he was good, he was a pain, and Gabe Davis was easily replaced. Obviously, the Bills lead the league in points scored and point differential. Quarterback Josh Allen is second in passing touchdowns at 7 with no interceptions, and he's only been sacked twice. He's also rushed for 2 touchdowns. As for Baltimore, they're 1-2. They lost at Kansas City, lost at home to Vegas, and they edged Dallas 28-25. We almost had a repeat of Week 2's disastrous fourth quarter meltdown, as the Ravens dominated the Dallas Cowboys for 3 quarters, with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry combining for 238 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns, giving them a 28-6 lead heading into the fourth quarter. However, the Ravens nearly let the game slip away again, as they seemed to forget about the final 15 minutes for the second week in a row. Fortunately, their early performance was enough to hold off Dallas and secure a much-needed win. This game, though nerve-wracking, could be the turnaround that the Ravens needed as they start to resemble their strong 2023 form. They need to keep that going, though, as the division rival Steelers are already two games up on them, and I think they're going to win their game this week. Now Buffalo and Cincinnati are their next two opponents. Oh, my. I don't know if the right team is favored here. Baltimore, 2.5, on the surface. I mean, who's going to stop Buffalo? But, again, you know, are the Bills going to win every game in the season? I don't think so. On a neutral field, I think the Bills can beat anybody. But they are coming off of a Monday nighter, a bit of a laugher. And they're up against a Ravens team that really needs it. And they found their mojo a little bit last week. The Bills have already played two night games, and they know how to win in prime time. But you know what? I like Baltimore in this situation here. The money is pretty split. The line is holding at 2.5. I'm going to do that. The spread is 46.5 and 2.5. So I'm going to lay the points here. I'm going to take the Baltimore Ravens to cover the spread. So let's take Baltimore minus 2.5, and let's take the over 46.5. Yeah, that's what we'll do. And let's move to the first of the two Monday nighters as Tennessee at Miami. The Titans are 0-3, fifth tier for them, obviously. They lost at Chicago. They lost at home to the Jets and lost at home to Green Bay. Yeah, this team spent a lot of money in the offseason. Doesn't seem to be paying dividends so far. Looking at the numbers right now, the game opened up. Miami were half-point dogs. Now they're minus 2.5. That's very interesting. We're going to talk about that. I mentioned earlier in the show that we talk about something, a certain line. This is the game I want to talk about in a moment. The Will Levis era in Tennessee appears to be on its last legs, even if the Titans haven't fully acknowledged it yet, at least the management. While Tennessee's offensive line didn't help matters last Sunday, Levis's decision-making has been abysmal, culminating in a late throw that resulted in a pick six. That was just one of many baffling choices he made throughout the game, dragging down an offense that otherwise is capable talent around him. With Levis stuck in a funk and struggling to adapt to new personnel and offense, the Titans may need to seriously consider a quarterback change. Meanwhile, their revamped defense is doing its best to hold up, but can only take so much pressure. You know, this is a situation where you might have a team giving up on a quarterback. We mentioned that a couple of times in the program so far. I mean, they might have to make the change just to salvage their season. As for Miami, they're 1-2. They beat the Jaguars, big deal, in week one. They lost to the division rival Buffalo Bills at home, 31-10, and they got crushed last week, 24-3, in Seattle. My first thought of this game is that misery loves company. Last week, I said to take the Dolphins because they were playing the backup quarterback, Skylar Thompson, and it didn't work out. I mean, Thompson actually got injured in that game, and the third guy came in. So the idea of a team rallying for the backup didn't really apply here. But now we've got Tyler Huntley starting for Miami. You're thinking, Tyler who? Tyler Huntley, the Pro Bowler. You didn't know Tyler Huntley was a Pro Bowler? Well, he actually technically was. But you're wondering, what scrap heap did they drag this guy off of? They got him off of the Baltimore Ravens scrap heap, and that's not a bad team. Huntley is actually a pretty good quarterback. He was just behind Lamar in Baltimore. Yeah, they're banged up, but you know what? This is a situation where it should have been last week, where the scrub comes in and the team rallies for him. As for Tennessee, I think they're giving up on their quarterback. Now, like I said, the money on this game is almost split. 52% for Tennessee, 48% Miami. That's as close as there is on the board right now. I don't think any game has the money more evenly split. And yet, Miami started off as a half-point dog and are now 2.5-point favorites. What does that tell you? That tells you that the sharp money is coming in on Miami, the syndicate money, the big bettors, the guys who move the lines. They are convinced that Miami is going to win this game. And you know what? So am I. I like Tyler Huntley. I think he's going to do well. It's a very low total, 36.5. That tells you there aren't going to be too many points scored in this game. It will be a snooze fest for sure. But minus 2.5 is not too ridiculous of a number, especially in the situation that I like with the backup coming in and the team rallying in the first week. So let's do that. Let's take the let's lay the points in here. Let's take the Miami Dolphins -2.5, and let's take over the 36.5. And the second of our Monday nighters, as the Seattle Seahawks going to Detroit, where the line opened in this game at Detroit's -4.5. It's been pushed down to 3.5, although a little bit more money has come in on Detroit. That seems a little odd. Seattle's 3-0. I've got them 7th in my power rankings. They beat Denver at home 26-20. They narrowly got by the Pats in New England 23-20 in overtime. And then they beat up on Dolphins 24-3 last week with the third stringer finishing off the game for Miami. The Seahawks have taken advantage of a favorable early schedule. But they're also showing real progress under new coordinators Mike McDonald and Ryan Grubb. Oh, we got Seattle. Am I doing it again? My producer is saying we got Seattle at Detroit. Oh, yes, Seattle at Detroit. Yeah, like I said, they're 3-0, 7th in my rankings. And they have had a soft schedule, but it's who they play. It's not in their hands. I mean, they are taking care of business. Geno Smith, the quarterback, is continuing a strong play from last season, and that's what's important. And defense has made significant strides under McDonald's guidance, looking much improved in all facets compared to recent years under Pete Carroll, where the defense sort of slipped, and the team slipped as a whole. With running back Kenneth Walker potentially returning in week 4, the Seahawks could be even more dangerous moving forward. As for Detroit, they're 2-1. They won at home versus Los Angeles in overtime. They lost at home to Tampa 2016, and then they beat the Cardinals 20-13 last week. That's more like the Detroit Lions we expected this season. My good buddy Half Moon is a big Detroit fan. I hope to have him on the show maybe next week. Jared Goff's interception streak extended to 3 games, but that was the only real hiccup in an otherwise efficient outing for Goff. The Lions got back to their strength by leaning on the running combination of Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery in the ground game. Proved it powered the offense. Defensively, they stepped up against another good offense. If Detroit can keep building up, building on the defensive progress, it could be the key to pushing the team back to the form that made them last year's NFC runners-up. Can you see Seattle starting the season 4-0? I cannot. 59% of the money coming in on Detroit. Yeah, it's gone from -4.5 to -3.5. No biggie. In week 1, a lot of 3.5s covered. And that hook is not scaring me so much, at least not at the beginning of this year. The over in that game is 46.5. The total is 46.5 in that game. I think it should be in high scoring. 46.5, though, might be a little too high. So you know what we'll do? Let's lay the points in this game. Let's take the Detroit Lions -3.5, and let's take under the 46.5. All right, so that's it. We've got all the games in the books. Let's do a quick recap. I've got, in the first game, Pittsburgh at Indianapolis. We've got the Pittsburgh Steelers -2.5, and we'll take the under. We'll take the Minnesota Vikings over Green Bay +3, and we'll take the under. We'll take Houston -5.5 over Jacksonville and the over. We'll take the Atlanta Falcons -2.5 and over the 41.5. We'll take the Chicago Bears -3 against the Los Angeles Rams, and we'll take under the 40.5. We'll take Tampa Bay -1, and we'll take under the 41.5 over Philadelphia. We'll take the Cincinnati Bengals -4.5, and we'll take the over in that game. We'll take the New York Jets -8 and under 39.5. We'll take the Arizona Cardinals -3.5 and over the 48.5. We'll take the San Francisco 49ers -10.5 and we'll take over the 40.5. We'll take the Las Vegas Raiders +2.5 and we'll take over the 36.5. We'll take the LA Chargers +7.5 and we'll take over 41.5. And in the Sunday game, we'll take Baltimore -2.5 and over 46.5. On Monday night, we'll take Miami -2.5 and over 36.5. And we'll take the Detroit Lions -3.5 and under 46.5. Now, as far as confidence points, I'm going to give you my best picks.
something tells me, and I know it's a tough game, but something tells me that the Baltimore Ravens are going to do it this week. They're going to make a statement game. So I'm going to give Baltimore 16 out of a possible 16 confidence points. I'm going to go to the well often with the New York Jets. I'm going to lay the points in that game and take the New York Jets and 15 confidence points. And maybe a bit of a homer here, but I'll take my Vikings plus 3 over Green Bay at 14 confidence points. I think Houston will be all over Jacksonville. I'll lay the points. I'll lay the 5.5 and take 13 confidence points for Houston. Oh, by the way, I'm second in my Half Moons picks pool, despite being doing horribly in the first week. In the last 2 weeks, I've taken a lot of dogs and more dogs than favorites. And I'm now number 2, right behind Bridgewater's Finest, by the way, who is listening, hey, Bridgewater. I'm only going to give you a couple more. You know, I got an email saying, well, you know what? I want to bet on the confidence points. So when I'm getting down to the ones, the twos, the threes, you know, yeah, those are kind of toss-ups. I don't make it to the window with those kind of bets. So we've got 16-54. At number 12, I like the Bengals. I think they're going to rout Carolina here in a get-right game. So let's go with Cincinnati as my next best game. And it's a toss-up for me. And I really like Miami. I like Miami to cover this game. So we'll do that next at 11 confidence points. And then I'm torn. I'm torn between a couple. I hate the Bears. I can't bet on them. But something tells me that they're going to cover the points. I like Tampa Bay. That's probably the one. Tampa Bay will give me 10 confidence points. And if you take those, from 1 to 9, you're on your own there. I mean, basically, it's a toss-up with some of those games. But if you take those games there, I'm not guaranteeing you. I think you'll have a very good chance of winning in your pool. Those are probably my best bets. I have to say that the one that's really sticking up for me is the Baltimore Ravens game. If I were to maybe recommend one, and you might have to hold your breath because that is a tough Bills team, but I do think the Ravens will cover. I want to also remind you to join me on Twitter. Follow me at Let's Take the Man's Money NFL. That's LTTMMNFL for a chance to win some swag. I'll send you some Let's Take the Man's Money gear. And all you have to do is comment. You can either direct message me, as a lot of people have done so far, or even post right on the page. It's a new page, so we don't have as many followers as we hope to have in the next couple of weeks. But make sure you join me on Twitter, and it's a lot of fun. You can follow the NFL YouTube prognosticators as well. I'll leave a link on my Twitter page for that. You can go to Facebook at the NFL YouTube prognosticators Facebook page. Wow, that was a quick 2 hours. I can't believe how fast that went by. I'd like to thank all of you for listening right now. Like I said, comment in the section on the Twitter page. Let me know where you're listening from. Let me know your best picks. And good luck to all of you. I'd like to thank my producer, Romano. Couldn't have done the show without you, buddy. Yeah, thanks again. For CKTJ 107.9, I am Gio. Let's take the man's money.
You've been listening to Let's Take the Man's Money with Gio. Tune in every Sunday from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time.